You're listening to Write Now Stories. To learn how to write your own, go to writeinthenow.com.
Who We Were by Daniel Will Harris. Read by Armando McLean. I thought I'd get here, but you never know. I always tried to be a good man, kind, honest, but I wasn't perfect. I ate meat. I gave it up for a while when we were in India, but I liked it, and it made me feel better to eat it, and that made me feel guilty. I mean, what if God was a cow? They revere them in India, so that could have been a deal breaker. I spent my life doing good work, the Peace Corps, soup kitchens, nonprofits, but maybe altruism was selfish. I did it because it felt good, and it made me feel less guilty. I had the Ten Commandments tattooed on the soles of my feet, one tablet on each foot. I only had to take off my sandals to remind me of them, even though I knew them by heart. Then there was the matter of my being gay, but, of course, that wasn't a decision, it just was. When I was 14, my father screamed, "You'll burn in hell, Dennis!" before he threw me out of the house and onto the street. I always thought he was wrong, but I couldn't know for sure. Douglas, my partner for 35 years, was, like me, always active in the church. But there were plenty of otherwise good folks who, not so secretly, thought we were going to hell for sure. I met Douglas when we were both kids, and his family's farm was just across the river. He was 4 years older, and I always looked up to him. Then, when he was 12, my family moved to Dallas, and I missed him, even though I told myself I didn't. But God works in mysterious ways, and we met 16 years later in Niger. Me in the Corps, and he is a missionary. One night, lying in the desert of the Air Mountains, we looked in each other's eyes and just knew. Since that day, we were rarely apart. He was by my side the last 9 months when I was dying of lung cancer. Every day, he was there, painting, in between reading books for me, books I had written, so that I might remember what I used to be like. I still felt what it was like to be us. And now, we were apart. Heaven surprised me. All I could see were green rolling hills and farms that looked like Orange, New Jersey when I was a kid. It was such a glorious day. The air sweet, and I could breathe easily at last. The first person I saw was St. Peter. He said, "Hello. We've been looking forward to having you." He was so friendly, not at all austere or antique. I thought he'd be wearing a long white robe, but he was wearing a gray striped hoodie and sweatpants, just like Doug used to wear. He said, "I'm sure you have questions." I didn't even have to ask. "This is how heaven looks for you, for now, so you'll feel comfortable. Don't try and figure it out. Just enjoy." And I did, standing on my feet instead of lying in a bed, the sun directly on my skin instead of through a window, the smell of wet grass and the sound of leaves rustling instead of taxis and buses. He pointed to a big red barn and said, "You must be hungry. Go, eat." I felt the grass between my toes. I was barefoot, and it felt so warm and soft and wet. The barn was just like the one across the river at the Raymeyer's farm, Doug's family. Inside, it was spotless, and there was a buffet as long as a car with all my favorite foods. Mac and cheese with bacon, barbecue ribs with a whiskey glaze, potato salad with olives, and Waldorf salad with mini marshmallows. all smelling just the way they did when Doug and I used to have a picnic. Standing next to the food was Martha Stewart. We used to watch her show religiously, and here she was. Well, perhaps not in the flesh, but here, nonetheless. "I made this for you, Dennis," she said, smiling in that stern yet loving aunt-like way of hers. "How do you know it, and why are you here?" I asked, because surely she had better things to do than cook for me. There must be millions of people entering heaven every day. She couldn't possibly keep up. "It's my pleasure," she said, her smile genuine. I hadn't eaten solid food in so long. I picked up a plate and started to fill it, but not too much. I didn't want to commit the sin of gluttony and be sent down to hell my very first day here. St. Peter said, "It's okay, Dennis. You eat all you want now." I piled my plate like it was the 4th of July, surprised that there was food here. Then I sat on a picnic table, looking through the barn doors as the clouds sculpted the light. I bit down on the corn on the cob. Oh my. Corn had always been my favorite food, and this was, dare I say, heavenly. It yielded gently to my bite, bursting forth with buttery sweetness, and leaving none of those annoying hard pieces between my teeth. Then, after many bites of bliss, I tasted a little salt, and was reminded of Doug, and that he wasn't here to enjoy this. I wanted him to be here, but I knew he had more to do in life. I wanted him to live it. I could wait. I told him that, silently, and hoped that he could hear. I prayed my passing was as much of a relief to him as it was to me, that he was over the tears of sadness and onto tears of joy. For a moment, I felt both kinds of tears at once as I tasted the salt in my mouth. Bitter at having to leave Doug, and savory for having been released from the prison of my body. Then something in my pocket vibrated and chirped like a bird. I reached in and there was a cell phone, pearlescent but familiar. I answered and heard a voice I hadn't heard for so many years. My mother. "Hello, Denny," she said softly. And the tears poured from my eyes without my even knowing I was crying. "Do you feel like seeing me?" she asked sheepishly. We had not left on good terms when my father threw me out of the house. Then he died, and she was alone, and I never forgave her. How was I allowed in heaven without having ever forgiven her? But now there was nothing to forgive. She was only 28. He was older and always told her what to do. She had always been there for me before. And if he told her not to call or write me, she couldn't go against his wishes. Then I saw her, right outside the barn doors, standing barefoot in the grass, looking all of the 14 she was when I was born. Sweet, scared. How old was I now? Was I 67 as I was when I passed? No. My hands looked smooth and firm, and my legs felt strong like when I used to run from Dad. But I was still older than she was. She jumped on me, her arms and legs wrapped around me, not ending at our skin, but melding in a way I never felt during life. Like we were one again. She cried, "I'm sorry, baby." And I said, "I'm sorry, Mama." I saw the girl she was. I'd only ever seen my mother. How beautiful. How beautiful she was. Smelling like peaches. She always loved peaches. She took my hand. I could feel hers, but I couldn't feel mine. "We'll do better next time," she whispered to me, from her lips to my ears. It reminded me when I went to see her years later. She had early onset Alzheimer's, and I wish I could tell her I still loved her. But she didn't know who I was. She just whispered in my ear, "Where's the potato salad?" Then, at my feet, appeared Shirley, a golden retriever pit mix I had when I was 8. She saved me from being hit by a car, then later was hit by one herself. She was so clean and didn't smell at all. She licked my feet, and the three of us ran down the hill effortlessly. There, in the kind of gazebo I always wanted if we'd ever been able to afford a house in the country, were familiar faces. Aunt Ruth and Uncle Arthur. She with her accordion and him ready to sing. Grandpa Iggy and Grandma Helen lived in Florida and had a big Cadillac, and here they were, in their pastel clothes and big glasses. They were all old like I remember them. They all circled around, me in the center, all touching and melding into each other in a way that seemed like when Doug's paint would run, except that it felt totally normal here. Then I saw myself, not a day over 20, reaching my hands out to me, and me moving to take them. I saw Mama nodding, and I melded through the group to myself. But it wasn't me. It was my father. We had always looked alike, even if inside we were so different. I always hoped the old man would go to hell. But here he was. He must have done something right. "I was wrong," he said. And for a moment, I still felt the old anger and wanted to say, "Obviously," but held my tongue. The way I always did around him. Only this time it felt right. There was no need to tell him what he already knew. "Come with me," he said, touching me. It felt oddly like holding my hand. Now the world started to fade, as if it had never really been there. And I was seeing a different side of heaven. Not clouds, no angels, just a brightness that blurred all edges, even my own. And in that infinite brightness, I could sense Doug and hear him sobbing. I reached out through the white fog to touch him, but this time it was me feeling like I was melding with him for an instant. I saw him look up and knew he could sense me too. In that instant, I sent him all the love I ever had in my life. Then I was gone. Dad and Mama and everyone I knew. They were still around me, but they didn't need bodies. Neither did I. They had all been illusions. Who we were is who we always would be.